But I'm going to read Psalm 19:14. It's a good word to start with this morning. It says this. It says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to God. So if I could just say one thing this morning, I would say that. Is that above all, I want the words of my mouth and the things that I think about, the things that I ponder, that they would be acceptable to God. You know, you've heard the sayings, and you heard it growing up. I think we all did. I don't know if it's changed. I don't know if kids these days hear this. I mean, maybe you have to go and ask Jack. And has he ever heard sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt? I don't know. Do the kids say that these days? I don't know if they do. But they said it when I was growing up. Maybe they probably said it when you were growing up, right? Well, I don't know who came up with that saying. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. I don't know what that person was thinking. I don't know if that person ever realized how wrong they were when they said that. I mean, maybe it was just a nice thought. I don't know about you, but I've never had a broken bone in my life. Some of you have had broken bones. I've never had a broken bone. Maybe you're in that club. I don't know. I've had some sticks hit me. I've had some rocks thrown at me. But I've never had a broken bone. But I can tell you, there have been some words that have really hurt me in my life. And there's probably been some words that have really hurt you. I don't know if you remember back times, or maybe you don't even want to remember the times when words really hurt you. Some of those words were not quickly forgotten, and you could probably even remember them today, whether they still hurt or not. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully you can remember those words and be free from the hurt and the pain that they caused. But we know that words can cause wounds, wounds that do hurt, wounds that need healing. And I don't know if you've ever been hurt by words. You probably have. If you're like most people, you have. And you have felt your heart hurt. Especially when that person, you sense that the person, their desire for you was not good, right? Their intention was not good. The heart of the person who maybe spoke those words was filled with anger. Maybe it was filled to ridicule you, a mocking spirit to mock you and ridicule you, or maybe to despise you. Maybe there was a jealous spirit involved there. But there was something involved there. There was a meanness of the heart. There was a hurtfulness of the heart. There was an intention that was not good. Sometimes it's not just mere words, is it? It's not just mere words. But there's some connection there that there was power in those words that had an effect that was quite painful. We can read, and you know, Scripture talks about the usage of our words and how we use words and how people use words throughout Scripture. The Bible has a lot to say about words, a lot. And in fact, the Bible says we should be careful about our words, and as we would want other people to be careful about their words, because we know and have experienced firsthand how they can hurt. Proverbs 18:20 says this. It says, "From the fruit of their mouth." Think about that. From the fruit of their mouth, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, that describes very clearly. Scripture tells us how powerful the tongue can be, that the power of life and death is held in the tongue. Wow. I think you've heard that scripture before, and sometimes we just have to realize, like, wow, words can be very powerful. The tongue can have a powerful effect, that it can produce life or death. Well, that says everything, really, that it can have that kind of effect. Now, we know that God uses words. uses words very powerfully. In fact, it's interesting that being created in the image of God, we have a certain likeness of God. Not that we're exactly like God, but we have a certain likeness in Him. We know that God created the world through spoken words. He created them. All that we see, all that we live in. And God's word goes out. We also see in Isaiah that God's word goes out, and it does not return void. It does not return without bearing fruit, but without serving its purpose. That His word that He sends out has power. It has power to change situations, to change people. And God's word implanted in our hearts gives us life and life eternal. So God's word implanted in us is powerful. It's a seed that's put in us that is to grow and bear much fruit and to forever change our lives. Now, we know that we're not God and we cannot do what God does, yet we have power of the tongue. We have power of life and death in our tongue as we affect other people's lives. Think about a baby, okay? Now, I think some of you, you understand this. You get this. But think about a baby. What is the outcome of raising a child? With words that affirm the child, okay? Affirming words. And words that you mean from the heart, that you think about raising a child with heartfelt words that love that child, that encourage that child, that uplift that child, that strengthen that child. The child can feel your delight when you speak over the child, or you speak to the child, or you sing songs to the child, or you sing songs with the child as they grow. And they can feel your delight from your words as you speak them. We know that has an effect. That has a powerful effect on a child. We also know, on the other hand, that negative words have an effect too. Because what if we were to demean a child with our words? And constantly give words to the child that were demeaning or belittling, making them feel very small, or words that would embarrass them or shame them, make them feel shameful about themselves and who they are. See, those words have power too. And if you can imagine, there's definitely going to be two different outcomes with these children. Those that are loved with words and those that are demeaned with words, there's a radically different outcome with children who experience this. You've seen it because you can see the person who grew up and they were hurt over and over with words, and you can see the person who was edified and blessed. And you know in your own life when words were a blessing to you and when words were really, can we say, a curse? A curse to you. Words have power. Now, we know in our own lives what's taken place and words that have really impacted us. We've all experienced it. We know what it's like to be devalued by words, by others, and it's impacted us in a negative way. And sometimes we have to look and see and ask ourselves, do those words still have power over us? Because God wants us to get free from that. God wants us to be delivered from that so that those words no longer have power over us, that we're walking free from anything that was negative or spoken over our lives with wrong intention of any type. And in the same way, you can also remember those who blessed your life. You can also remember those who encouraged you, who uplifted you, who believed in you, who really took the time to invest in your life, to speak into your life. And not only speak into your life, but speak life. Life-giving words that would lift their head up, that would help them see the good that's in them and the good things even that God has placed in them. So you also know that speaking life is like shining light on others, like bringing forth light, like watering their roots so that they could grow. And words have that effect. They have that kind of power. We see also the power of words, of the tongue, in James chapter 3. I'm just going to read 5 and 6 from the Message because I felt the Message captured it well. It says this, it only takes a spark. Remember to set off a forest fire. It only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. Sometimes you have to wonder who's in control of someone's tongue. Because I think we see clearly that when there's destruction taking place from the words that are emanating from somebody's mouth, we have to wonder, is that from the pit of hell? Who is in control of that tongue? Who's in control of that rudder? You know, James says it pretty clearly, that the tongue is like a small rudder on a big ship. A small rudder on a big ship, but it directs the direction of the way the ship goes. And so often he says the tongue is like that. The tongue will direct the life, will cause one to go one way or the other. It has power to do that, even though it's so small. It can set a whole forest on fire with a spark. Well, we know that. We've experienced that. Maybe we've had family situations like that where somebody just continues to just throw a spark to light a fire. And it's not a good fire. It's the kind of fire that you have to go around putting out, saying, no, she didn't really mean that. No, he didn't really say that. Or well, you know, and then we're just doing a whole lot of work to recover relationships that are seem to be because of words, hurt because of words. We've all experienced this, and we've seen the power of words, how they can set things on fire. And we wonder, what is at work here? Well, we know that the enemy uses the tongue, and if we allow him, he'll use our tongue too, if we allow him. But we say no. We do not want to allow the enemy to use our tongue to set fire where there should be no fire. To bring ruin where there should be no ruin. It says to throw mud on people. That's not what we're called to do. You know, the end of this discourse in chapter 3, when he's talking about the tongue, he turns immediately from the tongue, he turns to talk about wisdom. And so chapter 3 is all about tongue, it's all about wisdom. And so he ends chapter 3 talking about wisdom. He points to our need for godly wisdom. And in fact, James could at this point just turn to tell us, go read Proverbs. Go read Proverbs and learn about the wisdom of God and acquire it. As the proverb says, acquire godly understanding, acquire godly wisdom at any price. James tells us about the kind of wisdom that we need, the godly wisdom that we need. In verses 17, James 3:17, he says this. He says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. There's no doubt that connecting the tongue with the wisdom of God is absolutely essential. And James absolutely was doing that, saying, if we're going to control the tongue, we must have the wisdom of God. We must be filled with the wisdom of God. Because he talks about there's two different types of wisdom, but we need the kind that comes from heaven, the kind that's pure, peace-loving, considerate of others, submissive to God, even with what we say and every word that comes from our mouth. It's hard to think that way, but it's like, Lord, I want everything in my mouth to be according to your will and your purpose. I don't want to have words that come out of my mouth that are in error or falsely given. We need the wisdom of God to control our tongue. Yet, we must say, we know this wisdom comes from God. So in essence, we must have God. If we're going to have transformation in our words, we've got to have godly transformation in our lives. We need to personally know God. And so there has to be a working of God on the inside of us. So where we apply God's wisdom to our daily lives. So in truly going back to the Psalms, that the meditations of our heart and the words of our mouth can be pleasing to God. They can please, every one of them can be pleasing to God. It's literally a working of God's character on the inside of me. But what happens, you know, when I hit a barrier? What happens when we all hit barriers in our lives? And sometimes our words don't necessarily measure up to what God desires. Sometimes we have to listen to our words. And I don't know if you ever take time, if you catch words that you're saying. Sometimes you hear them as they come out of your mouth and you don't even know why you're saying what you're saying. Sometimes if we hear ourselves, like we just step outside for ourselves and listen and says, do I really mean what I just said? Do I really think that? Do I really believe that? Sometimes we have to stop ourselves in what we're saying and to identify that that does not fall in line with God. So if we had a playback button, which I know we don't, sometimes our playback button is our spouse, by the way. Whether they play it back correctly or not, we don't know, but I tell you, it's oftentimes, it's somebody who hears it and said, do you know you just said that? And sometimes it's like, no, I don't think I did. We don't believe we did, but sometimes that's where we need the playback button. But sometimes we realize there's something that we said that points to something that's in our heart. It's something that goes beyond just our words. In the Bible throughout, when it's connecting our words, it's not unusual to see in the Bible that when it talks about words, it starts talking about the heart, and it connects those two together. And that's because there's a reason. Because words are connected to our heart, whether we sometimes realize it or not. And so when we pay attention to our words, and our words aren't in alignment with what we really know God would want to speak or say, we have to look at a little deeper. We have to look down deeper. We have to look at the heart level and say, what's going on? What is going on? You know, so our words can be an error, and they sometimes need to be challenged. And sometimes we have to pray. We must pray. God, show me where my words don't line up. They don't line up with your words. You know, really, when we're starting praying that, it's like saying, God, would you reveal what's in my heart? Because I'm not aware. I'm not understanding what's really in my heart here. But there's obviously something that's not right. You know, sometimes we don't realize it, but there's times when our words reveal that we're harboring bitterness in our hearts, that there's something in our heart that we didn't realize was there, but it was a bit of bitterness towards someone or a situation, maybe something long ago, or something that, you know, oftentimes it's stuff that persists. It's stuff that, you know, I don't want to hear about such and such again. I'm just tired of hearing about such and such. And sometimes we don't realize it can stir anger in us quite quickly. Sometimes we don't realize there's unforgiveness in our heart until something comes out of our mouth that was not edifying towards somebody. Say, wow, maybe I have a bit of anger towards that person. I didn't even realize it. And something erupts. Something takes place. It was just something that had to be touched on, and we realize, oh, there's something in my heart. But the words are revealing it. There might be something unclean on the inside of us that we need to deal with. Because we're realizing, oh, there's something coming out of my mouth that does not speak of the holiness of God. So often we don't know. So often we're unaware. And we may be unaware of words that we have said to others. Maybe we're unaware of sometimes the impact words said to us. But we know that they were not life-giving. They're not life-giving then, and they're not like life-giving now. So there's several things we need to look at here. And one, let me include one here, is the silent treatment. I have to include that because some people say, well, no words are being used. How can that be in ill effect? There is wisdom in holding your tongue. There is wisdom in not letting things be said that don't need to be said, and keeping your peace. There's wisdom in that. But when we use the silent treatment to hurt others, to control others, to manipulate a situation, we're not being godly. And though we may not be using words, we know when people have used silent treatment against us to be hurtful. So it can even be the silent treatment, because it's what happens in the heart that's taking place. That's the intention of the heart that needs to be dealt with. So whether it's the bitter words, unforgiving words, whether it's the silent treatment, or jokes, they're not so funny, but they might seem funny to us, but they ridicule others, they put others down. Maybe it's sarcasm at the expense of someone else. Does this happen in the body of Christ? Oh yeah, it happens in the body of Christ. And we've probably all been a part of it. We've all done it. We've put somebody down, not even realizing sometimes we were doing it, but it was at their expense. So we have to ask ourselves, is it easier for me to tear people down, or is it easier for me to build them up? What is it easier for me to do? And sometimes that's what we have developed in our own lives. Paul speaks of this in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:29. It says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." That's a powerful scripture. I think right in the middle of that is a very key word, or key sentence, really. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you ever consider that? Do you ever consider, have I grieved the Holy Spirit in what I've said and what I've done towards others? Some of you know, I think we all probably do know, that there's been times in our lives where we have grieved the Holy Spirit because we feel the conviction on the inside. Like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. That didn't come out right, and that came out with an arrow that I didn't mean it for it to come out with. It was hurtful. And of course, those are times when we do need to ask for forgiveness, and times we need to repent before the Lord, and then others that we might have hurt. We've all done that. We've all said things that weren't right. And it did grieve the Holy Spirit because it hurt somebody made in the image of God. Whether they know the Lord or they don't know the Lord, that person is made in the image of God. And it was not good for them, and it was not good for us. It was not good for our spirit that unwholesome talk came out of our mouth. It didn't bless our soul. In fact, it did the opposite. So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And we know that wrong words can do that. And we need to follow the strong conviction of sometimes when we need to do things to make things right. But just as much as we can grieve the Spirit, we can also have life-giving words. You know, words that edify, words that build up, words that encourage others. And that's the exhortation. The exhortation is get rid of all that old stuff of the old life, of the old self. Don't let it even be there, not even a little bit. Not even. So if you see a little bit of bitterness, no, let's deal with that. Let the Holy Spirit deal with that. If we see a little bit of rage and anger, let's deal with that. Let's deal with that. So that you walk clean and you walk free from that. But it also says, you know, we should be kind and compassionate, loving one another, forgiving each other. So what we do to edify and build each other up is extremely important, you know, because we have that ability. We have the ability to dispense life-giving words to others. And that really should be our focus. You know, I need something life-giving in me, because I cannot give what I do not have, so I need the life-giving presence of God in me, working in me, to come out of me to give forth life, so that the very even words of God could come out of my mouth that could be life-giving to others. But I can't give what I don't have, so what am I putting inside of me? It absolutely affects what's going to come in, out of my mouth. Building other people's up, it is important for us. It's good for them. It's good for us. But for me to do that, I must have a giving heart. I must have a loving heart. I must want to benefit others. There must be a desire in my heart. And that does come from a transformed heart, a transformed life. Romans says that we're to consecrate ourselves to God. Romans 6:13 says, consecrate every part of yourself to the Lord. It says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Have you ever considered yourself as an instrument of righteousness? You are. Consider yourself as with God. When we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, we give ourselves. You know, that's what it means. Giving ourselves up to the Lord, giving ourselves for the Lord's purpose, that he can use us, guiding us and directing us, to be an instrument of righteousness. So we offer every part of ourselves, including our tongue, to be used by God for a righteous purpose, a life-giving purpose. So it's not just the case that I need to avoid hurtful speaking. Okay, that's true. But it's really also the case, and maybe even more so, it is the case that as Christians, we learn to be an instrument of righteousness, to give forth life-giving words, blessings to other people. Sometimes we don't realize how much of a blessing we can be. So we consecrate ourselves to God for his purpose, including our tongue. And in order for God to use us as an instrument of righteousness, yeah, he has to deal with some things in our heart. He has to deal with some things at our heart level. He has to deal with what's going on in the inside. How do we love others? How do we bless others? How do we think of others? How do we put others first before ourselves? I mean, these are things of just really growth and discipleship in the Lord. Whether the Lord can use my tongue, he's going to develop my heart. Proverbs 16 says this, when we think about the heart and the words that come from our heart. Proverbs 16. Okay, I'll just read this from the CSB version. It says, the heart of a wise person instructs his mouth. It adds learning to his speech. And it says this. It says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste and health to the body. So the heart of a wise person instructs their mouth. I mean, it's almost like a literal way of looking at it, saying, my heart is instructing my mouth. Well, that's kind of literally what we're saying. Your heart's telling your mouth what to say, and we want it to be an overflow. So let your words be an overflow of a heart that's so in love with Jesus, that's so in love with God, that we become so loving to others that what just comes out of our mouth is just natural. It naturally flows out of a heart that's so given over to God, so consecrated unto the Lord. We want that. We want the counsel of God in our hearts. That when we see others, we want to offer them the very wisdom of God. Because it's simply that's what's on the inside of us. So there's two things I think about when I think about controlling the tongue and the tongue being an instrument of righteousness. One is the wisdom of God, and the other is the love of God. You know, because if your love walk is not good, it's going to reflect in your speech. If the love of God is not growing in your heart, it's going to be hard to take those steps to want to be and desire to be a blessing to others everywhere you go and what you're doing. And so we need to cooperate with God, to grow with God. You know, we need to ask God to help our love walk. And we all do. We all need to grow in our love walk. Because when it's growing on the inside of us, it's going to be more and more natural to want to put it into action and to love others. And at that point, we won't be grieving the Holy Spirit. We'll actually be flowing with the Holy Spirit. And we'll feel the blessings of God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever blessed somebody? And you felt like a joy inside? It's like the Holy Spirit was just clapping. It's like the Holy Spirit was rejoicing and was saying, hallelujah, thank you for blessing him or blessing her. And God's saying, that's my daughter and that's my son, or I love that person so much. Thank you for blessing them. Absolutely. I know what that's like, to feel that joy of just giving a little blessing, doing something to love somebody and encourage them. So we don't do this on our own. We must have the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But yet we cooperate with God. You know, one thing that we cooperate with God is we lay down the right to be angry. We lay down the right for revenge. We lay down the right to gossip. We just lay down the right to do any of that. To have negative speech, hopeless talk. We lay it all down. And not only do we lay it down, that right to speak about others. But you know, there's another thing here. You need to lay it down as far as what you say about yourself and what you speak about yourself. Because if you speak negatively about yourself, it's going to be hard to overcome the words that act like a ceiling in your life. They will keep you down. Sometimes we have to catch words that we're saying about ourselves. I'm no good. I won't amount to anything. I'm too dumb to figure it out. Whatever you might find yourself with, negative talk and negative speech, sometimes you don't realize. Sometimes you're repeating what somebody else said about you a long time ago, and you're just repeating it because you're basically agreeing with those words. And it's time to stop agreeing with those words. And it's time to stop speaking and saying, I'm laying that down. God, what do you say about me? I want to get the Bible. I want to get the scriptures. God, what do you say about me? I want those words. I'm going to start speaking those words over my life. The power of words can affect our own speech about who we are. We need to take hold of that. We want God's ways and not our own. And submitting to God does that. That's cooperating with God. We submit to God. We submit our tongues. We submit our words. And where we go to get sustenance, where we go to get, it's like a well of water that we go to. Are we going to go to a fountain of living water, or are we going to go to old muddy water? The old muddy water is how we used to speak, how we used to talk, all the negative stuff. Or are we going to go to the living water? Are we literally going to be washed in the Word of God? Are we going to be washed in His Spirit and let Him bring forth living, fresh water? And that's what needs to come out of our mouth. So are you consecrated to the Lord? Do you need to once again consecrate yourself to the Lord? And sometimes it's subtle. I realize it's not all like just all negative and just black and white, but sometimes it's those subtle things that reflect something that needs to change, that needs to grow in the Lord, and we need to give it to God. And I could also say this, one area we can start doing more of is giving our tongue to praise God. Giving our tongue to praise God, because we were created, our tongue was actually created for praise, not cursing. You know, to build people up, not to tear them down. And if we will spend time praising God, it will also affect our heart. Because true praise opens our heart up to the Lord. And that Hebrews says, let praise be the fruit of our lips. Let praise be the fruit of our lips. Let it be something that's natural that comes out of us. And so if one way we're going to change our heart and change our words is become a worshiper, that has a powerful effect of changing the very atmosphere of our heart. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you don't feel good, and you want to start negative speech, whatever you want to say about the day, about yourself, about others, stop and say, you know what? I don't want to do that. Let's just get some worship on and start praising God. And even if you feel negative and you feel down, it's amazing how starting your day with worship can change even the atmosphere of your heart. And that words can start coming forth that actually breathes life. So let the fragrance of your heart become praise unto God, that there is an overflow in your heart. And I hope that's something that you desire and want to have. Not just being an overly positive person. I hope you're a positive person. But this is not about being pessimistic or optimistic. This is really about being God-centered, filled with the love of God, filled with the wisdom of God, and letting it so overflow our hearts that everywhere we go, we're just planting seeds. We're loving people. And it's not hard for us to do, because it's the change and the transformation that's happened on the inside of us that we want to, we desire to. We feel God's love for others. We get that creative idea and we just do it. We say, okay, I'm going to write that letter. I'm going to send that gift. I'm going to call that person. I'm going to go by for a visit. And I'm going to bring life with me. Words of edification, building them up, loving them, doing whatever we can do to care for people. I hope that's your heart. And let it be your heart, and let it be something that pay attention, like the subtleties that take place, the subtleties of your words. And when you find it, say, oh, Lord, that's not right. I give that to you. So, Lord, I'm replacing those words with words, maybe they're about yourself, maybe about somebody else. Maybe it's just I need to stop and pray for somebody that's given me a hard time, a difficult time in life. I'm just going to stop and pray for them. God, help that person. Bless that person. Lord, that person's operating under a spirit that's not loving, that's not kind. But God, would you bless them? Would you help them? Would you help them experience the love of God? Would you help them experience a life transformation that their heart would change and their words would change? I tell you, when you can pray for your enemies, when you can ask for God's blessings for them, you've had heart transformation. You've had heart transformation, and it's good.